Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament passage of the Gospel record of Luke. The Gospel record of Luke in chapter number 24. The Gospel record of Luke in chapter number 24. We're taking a little break from our regular series just to try to be a blessing and encouragement with a very practical message. We understand that as we live our life, that we do have to have fights. There's a battleground. And the biggest battleground that any of us have is the battleground of the mind. That there are things that go through our mind that we have to sort through. We have to try to determine if this is true, if this is not true. We have to determine what's going to happen. We think about the future. There are a lot of things that happen, and sometimes in the battleground of our mind, if we would be honest, there are times that we have doubts. There are times that maybe we'll doubt the goodness of God. Maybe sometimes we'll doubt the motivations of other people. Maybe there's some times that we doubt the sincerity of someone. Maybe there are times that we doubt this and doubt this. And we understand that the battleground's in our mind. And we have to come to the idea, what does the Bible say? How do we deal with that battleground of our mind? What do we do when we have doubts? Well, if you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Luke in chapter number 24. The Gospel record of Luke in 24, and let's pick this up in mid-story in verse number 13. The Gospel record of Luke chapter 24, and notice with me starting at verse 13, the Word of God says this. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have been redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came saying, We have also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them, which were of us, went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow to heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as if he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with him. And from this passage here, I'd like to preach a message, a practical message, about what to do when you have doubts. What to do when you have doubts. And with the Lord's help, we want to try to be a blessing to you today. If you don't mind, let's take some time and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you that you are real. I'm glad that this is not imaginary. I'm glad that this isn't a waste of time. I'm glad that this is real and it's worth it all. I'm thankful that your Bible is real and that it's proven. I'm thankful that your Holy Spirit is real and that it's proven. I'm thankful for your Son to come down from the glories of heaven and to die for us and that it is proven. I'm also thankful that you didn't stay dead, but on the third day you rose again, and that is proven. I'm thankful that we can look at evidence. I'm thankful that we can look at whatever's true, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. I'm thankful that we could think on these things. Lord, help us when we get weak. Help us when we get in the flesh. Help us when we keep our eyes off of you. And instead, because of those things, we begin to doubt your goodness, your graciousness, people's motives, people's view of us. Lord, help us as we deal with these things biblically, logically, and that we deal these things in a way that would be a help to us. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit for the purpose of you helping these good folks out here and encourage people through your word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you don't mind, maybe I could recap what is going on. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, was born of a virgin in a manger in Bethlehem. And what Jesus did, who is God, Jesus robed himself in flesh. So just like I would put on a coat, Jesus put on flesh, but he was God in the flesh. And he was born and he lived among the people for 30 plus years. He started his public ministry and began to bring people to himself and began to teach them things. And one of the amazing things throughout the gospel records is that Jesus would often tell his disciples, "All right, boys, listen up. I am going to die, and on the third day I'm going to rise again." And you know what they heard? Kind of like you listening to your parents or your teachers, right? Wah, 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 wah. You know, so when Jesus is saying, "All right, guys, pay attention to me. On the third day, I'm going to rise again." The disciples are like, "Yeah, yeah, that's something important stuff. But I'm going to be the leader. What about, no, you're not going to be the leader. I'm going to be the leader." They're distracted. And guess what? They're not listening. Jesus is saying, "Guess what? On the third day, I'm going to rise again." And they're paying attention to other things. They're half-hearted listening. Kind of like you listen to your folks from time to time, right? If you're anything like me, right? Yeah, sure. I'm sure that was something important. Someone said at times like this, "I wish I listened to what my parents said." Well, what did your parents say? "I don't know. I wasn't listening." You know, you ever been there, done that? It was something important. I know there was something important being said, but I was too busy with something else. Well, what happened is that just like Jesus said, he went to Jerusalem and they put him on a false trial. They sentenced him to death. They delivered him to the Romans. And while he was delivered to the Romans, they beat him, they mocked him, they scourged him, and then they crucified him. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, died on the cross of Calvary. What happened is that they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and Jesus kept telling them, "On the third day, I'm going to rise again. On the third day, I'm going to rise again." Now remember, they didn't read it in a book. They didn't hear about it from someone else. They saw Jesus, who was God. They watched his lips move. They heard sound come from his voice. And they heard him say, "On the third day, I'm going to rise again." Have you ever worked with children? You almost feel like you have to speak slowly. "Do you understand me? On the third day, 1, 2, 3, I am going to rise from the grave and I'm going to live." And so you'd almost think, you would almost suspect that people were looking forward to the third day. On the third day, they're going, "All right, we can't wait to get to the tomb. We can't wait to see him alive. We're ready." But that didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? No one believed him. They doubted. So what happened is that early in the morning, a couple ladies went out to the tomb and they had brought some spices. They brought some burial herbs because after 3 days, a body starts to smell if you're not been around dead bodies. So what they thought they would do is that they would bring some nice ornaments. They bring some nice fragrances. So when people would go and visit the tomb, it would cover the smell with their potpourri type thing. All right. So they're trying to make it smell good so you could go see the body and So they go there early in the morning, and guess what? The tomb, it has a rock in front of it, and it's rolled away. And so they go inside, and it's empty. And not only is it empty, but his burial clothes are nicely folded, set aside. Then some angels say, hey, the one you're looking for, he's not here, he's risen. You'd almost think that someone would get excited about that time. Well, the ladies go back and they go to the disciples. And by the way, the angel said, and make sure you tell Peter. Remember, Peter had denied the Lord three times. And so he's very brokenhearted that he denied the Lord. Now he's dead and oh, it's all ruined. And so they go and they tell the disciples, hey, guess what? We went to the tomb and there was an angel that said he's risen. And guess what? They didn't quite believe it. They had to go see it for themselves. So they run over to the tomb and guess what? It's empty. He's not there. And so you'd almost think someone would almost get excited about this point. But people are still doubting. They're curious. They don't know what's going on. And so now we come to these two people. They're walking from Jerusalem to a little village called Emmaus. And they've got the pouchy lip disease. Have you ever seen the pouchy lip disease, right? Woe is me and how horrible. I can just imagine these two people as they're kind of kicking rocks with their hands in their pockets and just kind of walking and talking and said, oh, how horrible. Man, I thought he was the one. I thought he was the Redeemer. I thought he was the Messiah. Oh, this is horrible. And they're talking about these things and they're getting all sad. I mean, they heard that morning that the tomb was empty and Jesus was risen. But these two guys, they don't quite believe it yet. They're doubting a little bit. It can't really be true. Is this really here? And so they're moping around, walking to this village, and they're just talking and crying and saying, I thought he was him. When Jesus himself starts walking behind them. Now, they don't know it's Jesus. Jesus kind of did a little disguise. He kind of kept their eyes blinded. And he starts walking behind them. And they go, oh, there's someone behind us. And, you know, they start still talking about how sad. And finally, Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? And they look around and said, where have you been? Are you a stranger? Are you just visiting here? Haven't you heard that about the Jesus of Nazareth? Haven't you heard? Now, it is Jesus, but they're like, haven't you heard all the things that's gone on? That this Jesus, he was supposed to be God and he was supposed to be the Messiah. And what happened is that he went to Jerusalem and their chief priest and they put him to death and they crucified him and they beat him. And then we heard these ladies talking about that he rose again. And the disciples went to the tomb and they heard he rose again. You know, that shouldn't be a sad face. It should be a happy face, right? We heard that he rose again. But they're not happy. They're sad. We heard that he rose again. And we just don't know what to believe. And oh, it's just horrible. How is it horrible that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, it's because they're doubting. They're doubting. And what's worse is that Jesus is behind them, talking to them. Oh, yeah, we don't know if Jesus is alive or not. We don't know if it's true. And he's behind them. It's one of those things later on they go, oops. And it's recorded in all of Scripture. You ever... And so all of Scripture has it recorded about how sad they are. And by the way, they're not the only ones. There are plenty of people. These are the ones that the Bible records. And Jesus decided to walk beside them and just talk to them as they're going. And he begins to speak to them about this idea of doubt. He begins to speak with them and try to bring them to the place that by the time they're done, they're no longer saying, we don't know if he rose from the dead or not. But they're saying, this is great. This is amazing. What happened is that he had to work with the idea of their doubt. And so with the idea of the context going on, that he's dealing with two people here who have heard the news that Jesus rose from the grave. They have heard the promises from Jesus that he rose from the grave. But instead, they are still getting the poochy lip. They're still depressed. They're still having the thing. And we understand something about human nature as we begin. That the battleground is in the mind. This is where their fight is at. The battleground is in their mind. And so this is where we have to wage war. This is where the battle has to be won, is in the mind. It is in the mind. So if you don't mind, let me talk to you and speak to you from the Word of God here, as Jesus deals with these two people here, what to do when you have doubts. The very first thing, and we want to be very practical, the very first thing we want to bring up is to talk to Jesus about it. What to do when you have doubts? First of all, talk to Jesus about it. Talk to Jesus about it. Now, with that, when we say talk to Jesus about it, that also means there are some other people that you don't need to talk about it. For example, don't talk to yourself about it. Don't talk to yourself about it. You know, when you start getting the idea of doubts, when you start getting a conversation to yourself, what happens is you can get in a downward spiral and make it worse. Because where is the battleground? It's in your mind. And so when you are talking to yourself and you're trying to base things off of your feelings, what you see, what you perceive, and all this other stuff, the only person you're talking to is yourself. Yourself has the same evidence that you have. Does that make sense? And so when you are already at the place where I don't know if this is true or not, self, do you think this is true? I don't know if it's true or either. It's not going to be a good conversation. What's going to happen is that it's going to start going spiraling down. That you start talking about yourself and you start thinking about it. Have you been there and done that where you thought about a situation? And the more that you thought about it, the worse the situation became. Maybe someone made a slight offense to you. If you don't mind, I'm going to use an illustration that unfortunately is true time and time again. So let's go with the idea that someone... that pastor didn't shake my hand. All right? Unfortunately, people get offended by this. I have to make sure that I shake people's hands. Because from time to time, someone will get in their mind, well, pastor didn't shake my hand. He doesn't like me no more. I know that pastor hates me. And so let's say that a church service happens and pastor happened didn't get to shake your hand. And so you say in your mind, man, pastor didn't shake my hand. I wonder what's going on. Does he not like me? Is there something that I did? Oh, is there something going on? And remember, if you start talking to yourself, you start breaking it down some more. Well, maybe he's mad because of this. Maybe is this. Maybe. Oh, and you start talking to yourself. And what happens is in our mind, remember the battlegrounds in our mind, we start to attribute motives to people's actions. What we start doing in our mind is we start filling in gaps of things we don't know. For example, the fact is that I may have not shaken your hand. And you do not know why I didn't shake your hand, all right? But what your mind does is it starts filling in gaps because you don't know why I didn't shake your hand. What happens is you start to fill in gaps and start to try to think, well, why didn't he shake my hand? Maybe it was because of this. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was this. Until finally you choose something that is not true and you stick with it because you talk to yourself about it and this is what you and yourself agreed on. Now, it sounds complicated, but I'm seeing enough head shakes that you've been there, done that. That you start talking to yourself and you find something, you start agreeing to yourself and you start building up a case about it. And next thing you know, you're really offended at pastor because he didn't shake your hand. And you have, I just know he hates me. And he just showed himself. He's being a snob. All right? And so you've got it convinced in your mind. Been there, done that, right? We have that. And so what's happened is that the first mistake is that you talk to yourself about it instead of talking to Jesus about it. Another thing is you don't want to talk to the devil about it. You know, he's going to lie to you every time. You understand that Satan's a liar? And if you give him the opportunity to use your flesh, he will lie to you. He will tell you something that is not true. For example, I want to tell you right now that pastor loves every single one of you. And if something comes up in your mind that pastor hates me and I know he hates me because he didn't shake my hand, that's a lie. And that's because someone intervened and your flesh and spiritual warfare went up and convinced you of something that was not true. Remember the battlegrounds in our mind. Another thing as we see here, notice verse 17. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, the two people that were doubting, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Another thing that you don't want to do, remember we want to talk to Jesus about it. Don't talk to yourself. Don't believe Satan's lies. But don't talk to other people that are doubting. That's not going to help you. If you have someone that has a problem with pastor and you have a problem with pastor, the problem's just now going to get worse. You understand? Yes. The same thing's true about anything. What happened is that these two people both heard the news that Jesus rose again. But both of them are doubting, and both of them get together and start talking. And what's happening is that they're getting sadder and sadder instead of happier and happier. Because when you talk to someone who's already doubting, someone who's already discouraged, someone who's ever having problems, and you are discouraged, that discouragement is not going to go away, but it's going to get worse as it mixes together. Find people who are annoyingly happy and talk with them. Talk with someone who is encouraged and talk with them. Talk with someone who's strong in their faith. Talk to them. Don't talk to other people who are discouraged when you're discouraged. Or at least about the discouragement. I'm not saying be a snob and say, I can't talk to anybody because everyone's so discouraged. Don't do that. But you understand, you be careful with who you talk about things with. That talk to people who have things, are encouraged at the moment. You know, if you talk to someone, let's go back to my handshaking. Again, I hate to do it, but every couple years, someone gets mad because pastor didn't shake someone's hand, all right? So, if you go to someone who's currently encouraged with things about pastor and say, you know, pastor didn't shake my hand and I think he hates me. That person who's encouraged says, pastor doesn't hate you. He loves you. Maybe he was busy. Maybe something else was going on. They're going to encourage you that maybe there's an alternate solution. That's what we need from time to time is to talk to someone who's encouraging, someone who is currently good. You know, if they had actually talked to someone who was actually going, yes, Jesus is risen from the grave, they probably wouldn't be so sad anymore, right? You know, if we get to the place where I don't know if this church thing is really real, I don't know if I really should, you know, take every Sunday. Talk to someone who's really excited about coming to church and you'll get excited too, right? Find people who are encouraged already in the Lord and talk with them. That helps when we have the doubts. Watch who we're talking to. And by the way, the most important person you could talk to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. Jesus. Pastor didn't shake my hand the other day. Does he hate me? Ask him. He knows everything, right? Talk to him. You say, but I don't feel like I could talk to Jesus that way. Have you read the Psalms? You know what the Psalms are? Is someone praying to God because they're having an issue. How many times in the Psalms it says, God, why have you forsaken me? Did God forsake them? No. But you know what they did? They felt like they were forsaken. They were not forsaken, but they felt like they were forsaken. But you know what the Psalms are? They show us that we can tell God about anything. You're mad at God? Tell him you're mad at God. God, I'm so upset with you. Talk to him. Tell him anything. You say, I don't want to talk to God like that. Who else are you going to talk to about that? Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. He knows everything. You know, if those two guys walking actually said, you know what? What do you think of Jesus? That conversation would have turned a little bit different. If they realized it was Jesus, that conversation would be different, right? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is never discouraged. Jesus never doubts. Jesus is God. Talk to him. When you go back through the Psalms, you'll see that the Psalms start off with, God, why have you forsaken me? Why is things happening? But at the end of the Psalm, you're saying, God is good and God is right. I'm going to sing praises to him. What happened? As they talked with him, he changed their heart around. You got to talk to the right person. The battleground's in the mind. And the first thing to do when you have doubts is not to talk to others who are discouraged. Not to talk to believe the lies of Satan. Don't talk to others that are doubting. Talk to Jesus. Talk to him. Talk to him. He will give you the right answer. That's the first thing to do when you start having doubts is run to Jesus. Talk to him about it. Jesus, is it worth it going to church? If you have a good enough conversation with him, by the time you're done, you're like, I can't wait to go to church. God, am I really saved? Start talking to him about it by the time you're going, woohoo, I'm going to heaven. By the way, you might actually use the woohoo too, right? I mean, when you start talking to Jesus, you'll get excited because he's real and he wants to hear from you. But you got to talk with him. He's there. That's one of the things about prayer. And you know how much discouragement that would get rid of if we went to him immediately and actually talked to him before it was a problem and just spoke to him. And so the first thing to do when you have doubts is talk to Jesus about it. Talk to Jesus about it. The second thing is we talk about practicalities. We know the battleground's in the mind. It's in the heart. notice, if you don't mind, the second thing is face the heart issues involved. Face the heart issues involved. Now, remember, these two people have heard the good news that Jesus rose from the grave, but they don't know if it's true or not. So they're walking and kicking stones and, why is it happening? Why? I don't know if it's true or not. Jesus starts talking with them and says, well, what happened? And they tell the story, and you can almost see that they're getting sadder and sadder. And he died, and we just don't know if it's true or not. Notice what Jesus says after they get to their poochy lip disease thing. Notice with me in verse 25. Then he, that's Jesus, said to them, the two people that are doubting, oh, fools. Well, that's pretty attentive capturing right there. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. We have to understand where doubt comes from. It is a heart issue. It is a battleground of the mind that we could believe. If you can't believe Jesus, who can you believe? Jesus told him over and over, on the third day, I'm going to rise again. You know, if you believe that Jesus believed him, they wouldn't have any problems with it. But they were slow of heart to believe what they were taught. They were slow to believe to hear what is true. They were slow to heart. It is a heart issue. And with it, we come to the idea of emotions. We know that we are made of men. We're made up of three parts. We're made up of spirit. We're made up of soul. And we're made up of body, spirit, soul, and body. In our spirit is the candle of the Lord. That when we get saved, the candle gets lit, but everyone has a candle. Meaning that if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, you have a God-sized hole. There's something missing in your life and people try to fill it. But when you get saved, the candle gets lit and God fulfills you. We also made up of body, that's our senses, that's how we see the world around us. And then on our soul, we're made up of spirit, soul, and body. Our soul has three parts. We have will, intellect, and emotion. Will, intellect, and emotion. That's what makes you you. With our will, we make decisions. With our intellect, we think. And with our emotions, we feel. By the way, emotions are not bad. They just have to be controlled. We understand that we have will, intellect, and emotions. And what needs to happen is that our intellect sees things, and then our will makes decision. You understand your will make a decision either based off of intellect or feelings, right? That sometimes you feel this way and you make a decision. By the way, ladies, you're not the only one with emotions. Men have emotions too. And there's sometimes we make decisions based off of emotions. So I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying that we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And that in our soul we have will, intellect, and emotion. What we have to do is be taught. We have to learn not to allow our will to be dictated by emotions, but rather by fact. We cannot trust our heart. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that our heart is wicked and desperately so. Who can know it? You say, well, I know my own heart. No, you don't. Not according to the Bible. We can't trust it. Your heart will lie to you. It's a liar. We have to be able to trust it. You say, well, how does this work? Well, I had a preacher who explained it this way. He says, I have will, intellect, and emotion. Let's say that I want to go, or I believe that I need to pray. So I've studied, and the Bible says I need to pray. And so what I have to do is I have to go to my will and say, will, this is what the Bible says, I need to pray. But the emotions say, I don't want to pray. Have you ever been there, done that? Where you know you should, or you know you should read your Bible, but your emotions are like, I don't want to. Right then, your will is going to have to make a decision to believe the intellect or to believe the emotions. And so what can happen is that he says it this way. He says, emotions, I'm sorry that you don't want to go, but guess what? Me and intellect, we're going to go pray. We want you to join us, but if not, we're going to go do it anyways. And the intellect, the emotion's like, fine, I don't want to go. Fine. And so intellect and will goes together and they start praying. And after a little bit, something fuzzy, something warm gets in between them and kind of squeezes in between. And guess what? Emotions have come and joined. You know, that's an amazing thing. That if we base things off of fact and intellect, and we make a decision based off of that, our emotions will be led eventually based off of that. How many times has it been that you didn't want to read your Bible, but you read it anyways, and next thing you know, your emotions went in there, and I want to read that. This is good. I want to keep going. I don't want to go knock on doors. Next thing you know, knock on a couple doors. The next thing you know, woohoo, this is great. I'm glad I went. It's almost like working out, right? Nobody wants to go work out, but once they start working out, they go, hey, you know what? This is pretty good. Well, that's just how it works. You can't let your emotions lead, but if you lead with your intellect and will, your emotions will follow. They will catch up. It doesn't want to be left alone. It wants to be with the crowd. You know, that's how the guy explained it. You know, maybe it doesn't quite work that way, but you understand what I mean. That we have to make sure that the heart issues involved, our heart will lie to us. Your emotions will lie to you. How many conversations have I had over the past where someone says, so-and-so hates me, preacher. How do you know they hate you? I just feel it. I just know it. Sorry, that's not evidence. That's not proof. You cannot base things off of feelings. You have to base things off of fact. Which brings me to my third point, that what to do when you have doubts. First of all, talk to Jesus about it. Second of all, face the heart issues involved. Third of all, look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. Notice with me in verse 25 again. And then he said to them, O fools and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What we need to do is look at the evidence. You know, if those guys had went to their Bible and started to read their Bible, they would have said, hey, look, Jesus said he's going to rise from the grave. Jesus is going to rise from the grave. Jesus is going to rise. Hey, look, this is what's true. This is what's factual. What we have to do is base our decisions off of what is fact. Remember, I said before that our mind will fill in gaps. That if there's something we don't know, our mind will try to fill in the missing parts. For example, let me give you something about me. Forgive the personal illustration, but I am a time-conscious person. I have been taught that if you are not early, you are late. That's just me. And so I am obsessively early. I have people tell me that the party starts at 7 o'clock and don't you show up early because they know I'm going to be there at like 6. Just because I'm just me, all right? I'm someone early. So guess what? Because I'm obsessively early, I almost expect everyone else to be excessively early. It's just how it is. So if I have an appointment with someone at 7 o'clock, and at 6:45, I'm like, yeah, they should be here soon. At 6:55, I'm looking out the window. Where are they at? You know, I'm trying to peek out there and trying to see where they at. 7 o'clock, they're not there. I wonder. They should be all right. 7:05, Man, I knew I should have just tried it. Maybe, you know, something there. 7:15, they're still not there. You know what? I wonder if they didn't even want to show up in the first place. Maybe, you know, whatever. They didn't really want to do it. They kind of, see, it's got proof. They didn't want to show up. They're just kind of doing it because they have to now. You know, I don't know what their motive is, right? The only thing I know is that they're not there on time. Maybe they had a flat tire. Maybe they had a phone call. Maybe they're winning someone to the Lord right now and they're opening up the Bible. I don't know, but I can't say they hate me because they didn't show up on time. Does that make sense? Now, we all do that. We all do that. Would so-and-so looked at me differently? And I know that look. They hate me. All you know is they looked at you. They could have been looking at someone behind you. They could have been trying to look at their nose. Who knows, right? All you know is that they gave you a look. You don't know why they did it. We cannot attribute motive if we don't know what it is. But if we would be honest, this is where we get aggravated at people because now we start thinking about why they did something and we don't know why. Hold your finger here and let's see what the Bible says about evidence, what we should think of. Look with me in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Again, I'm trying to be practical, trying to be helpful. This is a message I preach from time to time because we need it. We need it. There are so many times that we try to attribute feelings, emotions, purposes, and we don't know anything. We don't have enough information, but we get mad at someone because of a motive we've attributed to them and we build a case against them. And then later on, we find the truth and we're like, oh, well, okay. But we've been mad at them the whole time. I don't know. I'm a sinner. There are times that I've been mad because someone didn't show up, you know, and I knew they didn't really like it, you know. And I'm mad at them, and I don't know why except for an imaginary reason I don't know. Now, I know some of you are sinners like I, and so you could probably associate times where you've done such a thing. But we can only base things off of what is true. Notice what the Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, and it kind of covers the same ideas we're teaching today. Notice with me Philippians 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. That word careful carries the idea of worried. Have you ever been worried? Have you ever been anxious, worried, careful, aggravated because of someone or something, of motives that you've tried? The Bible says to be careful for nothing. Means even in our mind, we're not supposed to be aggravated at people. But we get aggravated at people, and sometimes it's not based off of evidence, it's based off feeling. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, it said, make your request be known to God. Didn't we say that at the beginning? That instead of talking to other people, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. That's what it says here. Verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't this the second thing that I said? Is that we can't trust our hearts. Understand where it came from. That the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Don't you understand what so-and-so did? Yeah. Then why aren't you mad? Because I chose that I'm going to believe in God. And my feelings, that peace came with me. Right? That the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice this in verse 8. Finally, brethren, notice what it says. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, notice this, think on these things. You know what? It just said my third point here, that we're supposed to think on what is true. We're supposed to think of whatsoever is lovely. We're supposed to think of whatever is on good report. Think on these things. Hey, if you want to help yourself from having a nervous breakdown, think about the good things. Think of things that are true. For example, pastor not shaking your hand. You could get to the idea where pastor hates me. I just know he hates me. I just feel it in my bones. Or you could say, you know what? Pastor has proved himself over and over that he loves me. That the time I was sick, I showed up. The time I needed prayer, he prayed with me. That he's done this and he's done this. Look at the evidence. The evidence proves that pastor loves you. Doesn't he care for you? Doesn't he ask how he is? Now, you could always say, when pastor says, how are you doing? You could always say fine and lie. But, you know, he's trying to. When I ask people, I actually want to know how you're doing. And so you could only base it off of evidence. All I know is he didn't shake my hand. I don't know why. But I know that he loves me and I'm going to choose to think on that. Right? You have someone who doesn't show up on time. All I know is they did not show up on time. But I know that they've been good and there's things in their life that I like and they're not against me. They've proved it. So I can't attribute a motive to them. I need to think on the good things that they, maybe there's something good happening. Give them, notice this, the benefit of the doubt. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Don't always assume that they're scumbags. Don't always assume that they're in sin. Don't always assume the worst. Assume the best. But you say, you don't know how many times they failed me. What's wrong with assuming the best anyways? Maybe this time they're doing something good. Maybe this time things are working out. Maybe this time something's happening. Help people to go to the next level. But think of what's good. Think of what's so lovely. You know, it's not very lovely to say, pastor hates me. That's not very lovely, is it? Think the best. Think of good things. Think of what has virtue. Think of what has good report. Think on these things. That's how to keep our mind right with God, is to direct it towards him, to talk to him about it, to choose to believe the best about people, not to assume the worst, not to attribute motive. Think of what is true. Base things off of evidence, not off of feelings. Those feelings will get you in trouble. But if we do what's right and we choose to do what's right, our feelings will come along. But we can't allow the feelings to direct us. And then one last thing here, as we go back to the gospel record of Luke chapter 24, we're dealing with two people who are sad the day that Jesus rose again. Even though they heard Jesus's promises, even though they heard that Jesus is alive, they heard people who they trusted say Jesus is alive, they're still the poochy lip disease. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Think I'll eat some worms. Woohoo. And they're just having the poochy lip disease. Jesus comes behind them and tries to encourage them. And they just get sadder. Oh, don't you heard what happened? And we don't know if it's true. And Jesus has to say, stop. Oh, fools, slow to heart to believe. This isn't right. You don't need to behave this way. Let me tell you what is true. And he opened the Bible and said, this is true. And this is true. Isn't this what Jesus said? Isn't this what the Bible said? And they go, you know what? That's right. That's true. Yes, that's right. That's what does. Yes. Now their heart's starting to burn. And they're saying, you know what? There's evidence. There's something true here. We could depend on the Bible rather than hearsay. We could depend on the Bible rather than our feelings. But there's one last thing here. Open your door to Jesus. Open your door to Jesus. Allow him to work. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 28. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he, Jesus, made as if he would have gone further. So what happens, remember, that they're walking along the road, him and his buddy, and they're walking. And Jesus comes up behind him and starts a conversation. And in the midst of it, he starts a Bible study. And he takes the Bible and starts at Genesis and tells them about him in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. He goes all the way up to Malachi, just showing him from the Bible. Man, I would love to be in that Bible study. Wouldn't that be amazing to hear Jesus take the entire Bible and say, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. And he has this great Bible study. And now they're excited. Now they're encouraged. And they get to where they're going. And Jesus says, all right, guys, I'll see you later. And he starts walking. And they go, wait, no, 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 no. Stay with us. You know why Jesus was going? Because he's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force himself on people. He wants us to say, all right, Jesus, we'll take you. Jesus, you come on in. Jesus, you be with us. You know, we need to get to the place to say, all right, Jesus, we choose you. Jesus, we want to be with you. Jesus, we're going to choose to believe you. Jesus, we're going to accept this. That we have to choose him. He's not going to force us to believe. He's not going to force us to do what he wants. But he's going to allow us to choose. He said, all right, you make your choice. See you guys later. No, no, no. Be with us. And he says, okay, good. That's what he wanted in the first place. He wanted them to invite them. He wanted them to say, be with us. He wanted them to say, Jesus is willing if you are willing. But we have to go. Remember, the battleground is in the mind. If I could give you one last little thing about the battleground of the mind, is the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual darkness in high places. You know what that means? People are not your enemy. If you can underscore that in your mind, that will help out. People are not your enemy. The person who hates you at work is not the bad guy. We fight against principalities and powers, spiritual darkness in high places. We don't fight against people. People are not the enemy. Satan's the enemy. Spiritual darkness is the enemy. The world's the enemy, but people are not our enemy. If we can get in our mind that people are not the enemy, it will help us when we get to the place where, Pastor didn't shake my hand, he hates me. Pastor's not the enemy. Miss Leah didn't do this. Miss Leah's not the enemy. Your boss did this. Your boss is not the enemy. We don't fight against flesh and blood. This will help us from being aggravated with people, from getting to the place where we're doubting things, getting to the place where we're wondering if it's true. I don't know if I can make it to church anymore, if I don't know if they love me or not. I'm not trying to be mean or whatever else, but I've pastored and been an assistant pastor long enough. I hear this over and over and over. And I'm trying to help. All right? I'm trying to prevent. You understand that our hearts will lie to us and Satan will lie to us. We have to bring it to Jesus when we start getting to the idea where I don't know what happened. Talk to him. We got to get to the place where we don't trust our heart, but we trust the evidence. And we choose to think the best of people. We choose to think whatever's true, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever things are good report. And then we get to the place where we just accept that Jesus is right. I accept you. Lord, be with me. Lord, I want to follow you. Lord, be with us. Invite him. He will guide us in those things that are true. He will help us when we have those times of doubt. That it begins with God, it ends with God. God's the goal. That you keep looking at him and don't look at the things around you, and you won't be distracted. He is true. He is lovely. He is good report. You keep thinking about Jesus, and you won't have time to think bad about other people. Just keep looking at Him. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.